It's good to be here. You know, I've been to Columbia. We have a church in Columbia, South Carolina, and I work with churches in Indiana, but I have never been to Columbiana. So this is just really awesome. We'll turn them around later. We'll just turn this way so you can get stared down by your fellow congregants here. Yeah, we call them the hot seat. This is going to be the hot seat. Well, it's good to be here, and you know, you can't believe everything you read on the internet, Chuck, because I've actually been in ministry 36 years, but I felt younger, though, when you said that. Made me feel good. And I currently live in, I have a house in Durham, North Carolina, but I live on Delta Airlines. And we've been in North Carolina about 18 years. Prior to that, when we first went into ministry, I was on staff at several churches. I was in Florida 17 years. We planted a church in 1992 in Fort Myers, Florida, pastored that. And in all that time, I was being trained and mentored in prophetic ministry, started doing traveling. Actually, I started traveling about 30 years ago. And it just grew and grew and grew and got to the point in the very late 90s, right about 1999, the Lord started pricking my heart about change. And I think my wife said it clearly. She said, you need to do one or the other, either pastor this church or travel. Come on, Lynn, can I have an amen on that? Yeah, right? Say, you just can't do both effectively. She was right. And so we made a major transition where I stepped out in full-time traveling ministry in 2000 and joined a very powerful apostolic group of churches in North Carolina. And it's just been a great ride for 18 years. And God's allowed us to go to 45 different nations and train a lot of people in the prophetic, teach on the prophetic, prophesy. I oversee about 10 churches, some in our network, some in some other networks, some in the UK. And so between conference speaking and giving oversight of churches, I'm a governing elder at our church, Grace Church of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And we have a fantastic group there, and I have a wonderful pastor that they just send me out. They're very happy to do it. And we have a great support team there, and it's just a joy. We do have 4 children. Three boys and the rest are girls. Our 2 oldest boys live in Florida. Our daughter lives in Baltimore with 4 kids. Our one son in Florida has a little girl, and then our youngest son is in our area, and he's on staff at our church. So we move around, and it's good to be here. I'm here because of another mutual friend, Dwight and Tammy Bennett. We were with them about a year ago, and so your pastor bravely took the bait when I guess Dwight must have recommended me, so he took the bait, and so here we are. So we're going to have a good night. I just want to share a couple things about prophecy and what we're going to be doing, and this is a corporate gathering. This is something for everybody here tonight. Yeah, God will speak to individuals, but the context of God speaking is always the community. God does everything with a heart for the church, and so Jesus said, I will build my church. So tonight we're going to build church. Prophets are builders. That's what they do. 1 Corinthians 14:3, to he that prophesies, prophesies for the edification or the building up, exhortation and comfort of the saints. So prophets are builders. And so we really emphasize a strong building thrust to the words that are coming tonight. For years, when I started out in prophetic ministry back in the 80s, there was kind of a wrapping around prophecy that dealt with personal blessing. So to get a prophecy was to get a personal blessing, you know, and so you're going to be blessed. And so we would even advertise meetings, you know, you need to come, you'll be blessed. And we kind of did a disservice to the body of Christ because we basically labeled and identified prophetic ministry as an avenue of personal blessing, which it is. I'm not taking away from it, but that's kind of where it rested. And it produced something in the church of a demand, a little bit of selfishness and expectation, and people just kind of thought about me, my word. I'm going to get my word. Did you get your word? Too bad. I got mine, you know. And this almost a competitive. So we've had to really shift some things over the number of years. And we really speak about a strong building dimension to the prophetic. Because Jesus said, I will build. You know, a template from the Old Testament in Ezra, as it was writing about the prophets and the rebuilding and the restoration that was going on. And he said this, that the prophets in the time of the restoration came along, and it says they helped them build and finish what was being built. So the prophets are builders. They come help build. They come alongside other fivefold ministries. And together, apostles and prophets are a powerful combination of two of Christ's anointings that not only build the church, but they are agents of change. How many are ready for some change? Okay, the rest of you are dismissed. That's what happens when apostolic grace comes. It moves you, because the word apostle, apostello in the Greek, literally means to send. And so there's a sending thrust that comes under apostolic grace, and when we prophesy into an apostolic sphere. And so that means that's where you're authorized to speak. The only reason I'm authorized to speak tonight is because Pastor Chuck and the elders agreed to have me in, and they've authorized me to come. So there's an apostolic sphere that we can speak into, and because of that, there will be the power to send and release. We're not going to send you to China tonight, but maybe some of you. The idea is we're releasing something in you that God has already put in there, something that God already knows about. So the apostolic grace of Christ, when it comes, I say it this way, the apostolic is the most powerful releasing mechanism that God gave to the church, if you understand that. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12:28 it says, and God gave first apostles. He set them in the church. It means he appointed, he set them in. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Why those three words of order in the Greek? Because God's very specific about how he wants to build his church. And the firstness of apostolic grace is important because it releases everything else you need. When anybody plants a church, they operate in an apostolic grace. They may not be an apostle, you don't have to be, but there's a grace to release the gospel into a vicinity, into a region, and then begin to gather saints and then begin to release giftings in people. That's what we do. That's what fivefold ministers do. We equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Never says to do all the ministry. We equip. We're equippers. So we're going to equip tonight in the grace of Christ. The prophetic Christ will be here tonight to equip and to furnish you and to release some things in you and to dig down in and reveal things that he wants in your life. Very quick testimony. In March of 1982, my wife and I were about to be married in May of 1982, and we were living, actually, my wife had just finished at Michigan State University. I graduated from there a couple years before that, and I was working in Detroit in the hotel business, and then I was going to go out west and go back to the company I was with before. We were building and developing hotels out in the west corridors of Montana and Colorado and Arizona and all that. Anyway, long story short, out in Sheridan, Wyoming, where we were building a brand new hotel, I was going to go out there for 6 weeks, open the hotel, and then move to Denver. That was my plan. We're about to get married. It's March of 1982. We're in Michigan, and out in Sheridan, Wyoming. How many know where that is? It's rather obscure, but it was right on the major interstate from Montana all the way down to Arizona, so we were building. Anyway, so we were going to go out there for 6 weeks. No problem. 6 weeks. We can endure 6 weeks and Sheridan, Wyoming with the Cowboys and Indians. And in March of 1982, in the small charismatic church plant in Sheridan, Wyoming, it was about 3 or 4 years old, a prophet by the name of Dr. Bill Hammond, anybody heard of Dr. Bill Hammond? He's probably what many would consider one of the fathers of the prophetic movement. Dr. Bill Hammond came into that church and he prophesied this. The day is coming, says the Lord, I'm going to send heads of hotels and motels into this church. That was in March of 1982. We're in Michigan. I'm not even saved. I'm a dead, dry Episcopalian with one thing on my mind, get married and make a lot of money. Have a successful career, right? So unbeknownst to me, God spoke and something was created. And God released something into the earth that he wanted to happen. He wanted me to get into that church, and so he spoke it. And so we fulfilled that prophecy in June of 1982, because we got married in May, we went on our honeymoon, came back, and moved temporarily, we thought, to Sheridan, Wyoming. Got to the town, got settled in a hotel that was across, right near where we were building this big Holiday Inn, and then we were right across the street from this little storefront charismatic church. And my wife, one night, on a Wednesday night, believe it or not, on a Wednesday night, said, look, and we talked about going to church. She had been saved through Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Michigan State. And, you know, I wasn't a God hater. I didn't know Jesus. Grew up in the church, loved being in church. I sang in the choir, was a musician, all that. So anyway, I said, okay. It's Wednesday night, but inside I'm going, people don't go to church on Wednesday, do they? It's like, why would you go to church on a Wednesday? Because it's a charismatic church and they taught the Bible on Wednesday. Anyway, so we went across the street on a Wednesday night, walked in, And when they found out that I was part of the opening management team for this new hotel, everybody started getting giddy. Oh my gosh, it's the guy. We didn't know. We walked in, and guess what the pastor was teaching that night? Why you need the Holy Spirit. And he taught. And then he said, gave 7 steps to receive the Holy Spirit. And he says, who would like to receive the Holy Spirit? And my wife and I are the only two up out of our chairs, standing right there in front of him going, we'll take it. Totally ignorant. He laid hands on us. Boom. We both received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other tongues, and my life was never the same. Amen. I got one amen. That was great. That was a life-changing. You see how the prophetic word can change you. God can speak one thing, and then you blindly walk right into destiny. And so that's what happened to us. And long story short, as we stayed, I opened the hotel, quit my job, took a lucrative 85% pay cut, and went to work at that church. And you would too. Offer you can't refuse. Stayed there for 1.5 years, and then we moved to Florida with that pastor. He took a church down in Florida. We moved with him, and then, like I said, we were in Florida 17 years and grew. And here we are tonight in Columbiana, all part of God's plan. So, amen. Let me just give you one thought from Scripture. I've just been rambling on, and then we're going to get going here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, verse 28. And God said to them, wow. Isn't that the most amazing phrase? Are you with me? Did I lose anybody? What's the first thing God did after he created man? He spoke to him. He talked to him. First thing. What's that mean? What was the first requirement of man? To hear the voice of God. You see, the prophetic is part of our createdness. We were created to hear. God didn't have to push any buttons, do an abracadabra, lay hands on. He made him and said, He made man and started talking to him and gave him the requirements for life. Told him how he wanted to live on the earth that he had created for him and began to speak instructions on how to live on the planet that he had made for them. So the prophetic is part of our createdness. It's not weird. It's not for super spiritual people. It's for everybody. We were created to hear the voice of God. So we want to hear tonight. And as Chuck said, you know, we want to be listening. When we speak over individuals, remember the context is community. You really don't understand what God's saying if you try to apply it individually. You don't really understand the speaking of God outside the context of community because we're part of a body. We don't dismember people, take them in another room, minister to them, and then come back and glue them back into the body of Christ. You know, this is like a body event. And so be listening. Because when we prophesy over people, I call it, that's our primary revelation comes to the individual, but there's always a secondary illumination that comes to everybody because God's talking to family. Because we have 4 kids, and so as they were growing up, you know, if one of them needed personal instruction, the other kids were all ears. What's he saying? I don't know. It doesn't sound good, but they're all listening because they're saying, that could be me, right? It goes for the correction too, but it goes for the blessing too. We're all God's kids. He loves us all. So let's minister by the Spirit. Let's be corporate about it. Let's be engaging, as Chuck said, and let's just be anticipating and not striving and not like, when's my turn? My gosh, it's already, you know, no striving. It's more like, I want my brother, I want my sister built up in Christ so we can bless the church, build the church, and touch this region for Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, so
all right, if we could, we're ready. Bruce and Monica and Rich and Beth will be on deck, and Adam and Janelle will be in the hole.
Play ball. Here we go. I got your own. Let's slide that over there. Come on down. How are you doing tonight? Good. Good to see you. You got yours ready to go. We're ready to record. All right, Father, thank you so much for this couple. We do bless them, God. We thank you for the blessings of God. We thank you, Lord, for their tenacity. There's a tenacity that both of you have. There's this, what we call almost like a bulldog faith, where you get a hold of something, brother, and you're like a bulldog. You just will not let go. You just get a hold of it, and you say, there's something good here, and I'm going to hang on to it. And there's things you've hung on to for decades. There's truth that runs in you that you got as a young man. There's things that run inside of you that you've never let go of. And there's things that you're going to begin to pass off into another generation. And both of you have a heart for young people, and that's going to continue. You'll grow old, but your heart will grow young. You'll have such a passion to see the next generation rise up and do what you did and take the places that you took early in leadership and in development and in discipleship. And there's such a heart of discipleship in both of you. And God's going to increase avenues of discipleship. He's going to show you creative ways to reach people, creative ways to gather. And sister, you got such a gathering gift. You just love to gather people together. We were at your house last night. That's a natural knowledge, I know, but there's also this heart to gather. And you are going to be a catalyst for gatherings. And it won't all be at the church. And it won't all look like church, smell like church, and sound like church. There's going to be some eclectic type of gatherings that you're going to be coaching people to do. And you say, well, you know what? When you're doing that activity, you know, you ought to do this. And I just see all kinds of wisdom and inventiveness. You're so creative. There's a lot of creativity in this head up here. There's a lot of ideas that flow, and there's creativity, and there's artistic ideas and ways to blend weird things together. Uncommon, okay, characteristics can blend when the Holy Spirit's there. And we often say with couples, you know, opposites attract. And so there's going to be a lot of opposites that are going to be attracted to one another. People that come from total background of no religion, don't even know there is a God, don't know who Moses is or anybody else. And then people that, you know, grew up in church, and you're going to have a capacity to pull them together and put them into a setting where the Holy Spirit can come and pull them out of their various backgrounds and into a commonality of Christ. You guys are going to be just having fun. You're going to be having spiritual children and spiritual grandchildren, and there's going to be just something that warms your heart. And pouring out, brother, pouring out truth is just dandy for you. You just love to give truth. And there's not an overpowering voice that you have. There's not an overpowering or an overbearing, lording over type spirit. Brother, you truly are one that comes in on the low road. There's a humility. There's a capacity you have to follow Christ as the greatest. Because to be great, Jesus said, is to be servant of all. Servant of all. Brother, you're a leader, but you're a leader because you're a servant. That's why. He said that the Gentiles lord it over one another. Brother, you've never tried to lord a position or Bible knowledge or anything else over. You've come under. And that's what has caused you to be a man of influence and caused you as a couple to be a couple of influence. And that's going to continue. And that's why your leaders, you have influence, not position. And your influence, God says, is going to grow in the days ahead. Greater influence. Brother, there's some businessmen that you're going to have influence with. There's some men you've been witnessing to. You've just been actually literally kind of scratching your head going, now what else can I do? How else can I reach them? You really pray. You're really saying, God, what can I do? What can I say? And I just see, again, acts of kindness. I see just the ability to just minister practically, and then God's going to just flip the switch, as we say, and just touch their heart through acts and just practical things. And there's just some hard-headed men that are getting ready to be cracked open by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And kind of their deep-seated hurts and cares, worries are going to come out, and you're going to be like a doctor right there on the scene to do emergency surgery and emergency care. And they're going to say, we have never felt anything like this. So pray for those things, because God's in it. God's going to just open up some some hearts that you've been knock, 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 hello, trying, you know, feel like, behold, I stand at the door and I've been knocking for years. And God said, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. There's this repetitive phrase that Jesus gave, right? Ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened. And so knock, knock, who's there? It's Bruce again. He's keep knocking, knocking, and God's going to open doors. Amen. I know you told me you had children, but I can't remember. You have, how many do you have?
Two
children, yeah. Yeah, I just see, you know, sister, you go into your prayer closet and you just go at it for your kids. You don't mess around. You are very blunt with Jesus, if I could say it that way. And he doesn't mind. He likes your bluntness. He likes the way you just really pour out. And because you've got that kind of mojo with Jesus, he's on your side. He loves that. He likes to fuel your fire, and he likes to just whisper, it's okay, I got this. And there's a couple of things that I think coming that I think the Lord needs to just keep saying that phrase to you. I got this. He's got your kids. He's got them. He's got a plan. If you could take a dried old dead Episcopalian and just prophesy, you're going to get into this church and fill with the Holy Spirit. God's got plans for the people that don't know he's got a plan. And God's got great plans for your children. And there's some good things going to happen. There's spouses for them. There's kids for them. There's destiny for them. There's church infiltration for them and kingdom mandates over their lives because you have done what you do. Put them before the altar. You put them up there and said, they're yours, God. And God said, thank you. I'll take them. They were mine anyway, but I'll take them back. I gave them to you to steward. Now I got them. And they're firmly in his grip and they're firmly in his care. And there's going to be some good shifting going on in the next few years that will not surprise you, but it'll surprise them. Amen? You ready for some surprises? Why not? Father, thank you, Lord, for a faithful couple, tenacious couple, builders of the house, pillars in the house, but God, ones that love the body of Christ and love this rising younger generation. Father, pour them out and use them to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. 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 Bless you. Is that good? God is good. Brother, you crying already? Oh, just checking. Okay. That's a good sign. Are you ready? You got your voice memos? All right, here we go. And tell me your names.
Rich
and
Beth.
And Beth. Okay, Father, thank you for Rich and Beth. We bless them tonight. We bring them before you, Lord, and we just say, Lord, do the makeover. Do the renovations. It's all part of the plan. It's a good thing. God loves to renovate. And brother, there's a phrase out of Romans chapter 12. It says to be renewed. It talks about the renewing of the mind, and that word in the Greek actually could be well translated, the renovation of your mind. And brother, you're going through a renovation, even right now. It's a good one. It's a God-ordained one. It's a probing. It's a pushing. It's a little uncomfortable, but you know what? In the stripping away of old mindsets and things that don't produce kingdom, there's this fresh renovation, like a fresh countertop on a kitchen or a new floor or new furniture. There's renovation coming, brother. Tools for you to handle the Word of God with even greater capacity. God's stretching you. God's giving you a download. It's like, brother, you better get a quick upgrade in your internal software because, brother, the bandwidth is going to increase and the download from heaven is going to get faster and sharper and the demand is rising. The reason we keep upgrading our phones and all that stuff is why? We got to keep up with the current demand of the invisible world called the World Wide Web. But you know what? God has an invisible world called the Spirit. And God's increasing spiritual bandwidth in this hour. The whole reason he gave the internet to our generation is so we could help understand how fast God is and where he's taken us. He's taken us to the finish. He's taken us to the culmination of the ages. And this is all something the two of you are going to help prepare the body for. You're going to help get people ready for what's ahead. There's a cry, brother, that's going to come out of you, like Paul Revere. You know, it's not Chicken Little. It's Paul Revere. It's like, Jesus is coming. You better get your act together. Not condemning, not judging, not fear tactics, but truly an alarm to wake people, as Paul Revere did, to wake people up in the night and said, get ready. Jesus is coming. That is a fact. Nobody knows the hour and all that stuff. We know that. But he is coming, and there's a readiness that you're going to help the body of Christ grab hold of. And there's just some books, and there's some teaching, and you're a little bit of a bookworm, and you're kind of a browser, and you're all kind of one that likes, you got certain pet blogs you like to dig into, and you're an inquisitive man. And God says, ask of me while you're at it. While you're ask good questions, brother, deep questions. And God says, go deep with me, son. I'm going to open up revelation to you. I'm going to open up. Actually, I just even want to say that I believe God's even going to open up the book of Revelation to you in some fascinating new ways. Not to make you a weirdo and not to make you one that just everything's a symbol. There's a very practical impartation that comes with the book of Revelation that's going to just, again, renovate your thinking system. Sister, there's such a Proverbs 31 kind of lady here, and there's a Titus woman, and all these wonderful things that the Bible uses to describe godly women and women that really make an impact. And there's I think of the one phrase in Proverbs 31 where it talks about this woman. She was a businesswoman. She could get things done and makes a little money. And sister, you've got the capacity to make some money. I don't know if you've done it or you're doing it or you're going to do it, but God's, you know, when God speaks, it's past, present, and future, all one to him. So we just kind of bring it. So there's money. let's put it that way. There's enterprise. There's business capacity in you. And, you know, you're going to have to sort that out with God. So he'll show you. But I just see the ability for you to merchandise some things and make some money. But here's, it's not about the money. It's about the people. It's about the money in the people's pockets and purses. It's those people, God is going to divinely connect you to some brand new relationships through offering something, and they're going to pay for it. And they're going to get more than they bargained for. They're going to get more than a product. They're going to get relationship. They're going to get prayer. You're going to pray for people. They won't be clients. They'll be prayer assignments. There's so much capacity, sister, you have that God's taken you to a whole new, you're stepping into something big, something wide, broad, that it's just your season. It's kind of like God's withheld, not in a punitive way. He's just withheld for the right time. And he says, I'm about to thrust you into a marketplace type scenario that you're going to be rubbing shoulders and seeing people and meeting all kinds of people and going to a little meeting here and a little meeting there. And you're going to have to just do a calendar drill every week with your husband and say, wait, I've got a meeting that night. And suddenly there's going to be intersections where, you know, you're both thought you had a green light and there's could be a crash, and you're going to have to just sort out the future a little more closely so you sink into what the Holy Spirit's doing in both of you. And so this is going to be a good season. You're coming into a very fruitful season. Not that you haven't been fruitful. I'm just saying it's going to be very fruitful. There was a season of loss. There was a season of dearth and drought. But God was with you. He was there. And you know, he loves to walk with us through the valleys. He likes to walk with us through the floods. He's always there. But he just reassures you tonight that that wasn't punishment and you didn't do anything wrong. He was just shaping you up. He was stretching you. He was fortifying you. He was getting you ready internally for what's going to be coming up at you externally so that your capacity would then be ready. You're a high capacity couple for the kingdom. And I just feel like God's saying, you haven't seen anything yet. The next several years is like putting rockets on you and like, what happened to that couple? Well, they just got on fire. Not that you weren't on fire. It's just like booster rockets, thrusting, okay? And that's going to come from the Word of God. And it's going to come from prophetic destiny. It's going to come as fuel to vision that's going to even come out of this house and even in the community and even some other places where you're going to just get sparks of fresh vision and you're going to say, we can do that. Because you see, the prophetic word will push and give you unction and provide fuel, and it'll all dovetail into kingdom advance. Keep the kingdom first and foremost, as Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added. There is a seeking of the kingdom, not just what we're going to do at church. It's like, what are we going to do in the kingdom? And then God's going to broaden you out and push, renovate, and cause you to explore some new things that are going to bring great delight and bring your giftings all to a new level of productivity for the King of Kings. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Are these electric or are they real? Thank you. I just wasn't, you know, I sometimes don't know what, well, I don't know if I'm knock one over and suddenly they're going, boy, Clem's on fire tonight. So what's your name?
Adam.
Adam and Eve? Oh, sorry. You never had that joke, have you? No. What is it?
Janelle.
Janelle, all right. Who's that? Who are these kids? What are you doing up here? What are you kids doing up here?
Jonah, Josiah, and Ainsley.
Hi, guys. Do you know these people? Do you know this couple? Are they nice? Are they? Good. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, God has you firmly in his grip tonight. And there's something about the hand of the Lord, just as my hands are on your shoulders. And we do believe in the laying on of hands in prophecy. There's a powerful combination of impartation that comes. As Paul was instructing Timothy, he said, don't neglect the gift that is in you, that was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands. And I really believe there's an impartation coming to you tonight. I really believe that there's a gift, there's charisma, there's something of the Holy Spirit that's in you. And God says, there's a stirring of that and an impartation of that given to you through prophecy. That the very words that God imparts into your spirit tonight will be a channel of gifting that comes supernaturally. Because, brother, you're naturally gifted. Both of you are. They're both natural gifts. You grew up a gifted guy. You made people jealous. Other guys are jealous. And this one was, and you kind of got shot at a few times and kind of like, who do you think you are? And just, you know, you had some battles, okay? You got reverse bullying. You could have bullied right back, but you just kind of just like, Not worth it kind of attitude. Not demeaning, but it's kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to bother. And there's just this gifting that people kind of got actually upset with you about your gifting. And there's been favor. And sister, you've had favor. And there's some things that you kind of, as we say, fell into. And there's charisma and gifting. And God says, I'm going to begin to really pull this together into my grip and cause there a gift that he doesn't want you to neglect called the Holy Spirit and his giftings, and to be moving in that dimension even more and even more and even more. God wants you to move into people's lives by the Spirit. God wants you to be continuously led by the Spirit. But God wants you to desire spiritual gifts. Hallelujah, that's in the Bible. Yeah. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. The old King James said covet, for crying out loud. What a nasty word, right? That Old Testament, that's a bad word. Don't covet this and that. There's a whole long list. And then you get to the New Testament, there's one thing we can covet, right? Spiritual gifts, prophecy. Covet to prophesy, Paul said. And so that means have this burning desire, because you're going to find that you're going to be able to do things by the Spirit that you can't do in the natural. And that's been, there's a little bit of a lid and a little bit of a frustration, not a bad one, but I sense frustration when I hesitated for a minute. That's why I didn't just launch out. I'm saying, God, what is this? I'm sensing this little frustration. This is a good couple, but they're frustrated. And God says, because they can't do everything I want them to do in their own power. That's why they're frustrated. Because you're so stinking talented that you think you can just do it yourself. And there's a lot of things you can do yourself, but God has brought you to an impasse. And said, you can't do the next things I've called you to do without me. You can't do it in the power of your own natural talent and ability and smartness and favor and all those things that we do want that. But there's some projects coming and people, and there's open doors coming for the two of you. Brother, you've got some open doors coming in the realm of vocation that are going to be a little bit startling. And that's why you need a word from God when he says, I open a door no man can shut. He's going to do it. But he also closes doors no man can open. And this is door season for you. You're going door hunting, and you're going to be door rattling. You're going to be rattling some handles. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. And then God says, this one. And it's going to scare you at first. And that's going to be God. Because see, if you say, oh, that's easy, I can do that, then you don't need God. It's going to be, God, I can't do this without you. And you'll get a witness. Your wife will get a witness and say, well, this must be God, because for once, you can't do it on your own. It's going to be really good, brother. And you're going to find that low road of humility. You're going to find, you know, that grace is going to come. You're going to find that God's going to elevate you as you go down. Yeah, as you go down in spirit, God's going to raise you up. It's the most perplexing paradox of the kingdom, that if you want to find your life, you lose it. So, brother, you're going to embrace personal death, death to what you're able to do, and pick up a fresh mantle from Jesus on what the Holy Spirit can do in you. And you'll just be refreshed. You won't miss your devotions as much as you are now. I'm kidding. You're going to say, man, I got to get in the Bible this morning. I got to pray in tongues on the way to church or on the way to work. I got to. You'll feel a desperation and it will be so good. God, I can't do this without you. And then you'll get the victories. You'll just see victories and you'll get the win and you'll get spiritual trophies and all kinds of things that rang your bell as a young man. God's going to turn that into spiritual reward. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so this is a fresh season of seeking God. Not only for yourselves. This is not just about let's just build a better life for our family. It's like, this is about the kingdom. This is about people. And sister, you're very evangelistic. There's such evangelism that runs in you. And you have got very cunning ways to get into people's lives. God's going to give you incredible ways. Talk about doors. God's going to give you door after door to get into people's world, and they won't even know how you got in. But you're going to hook them. You're going to get in. You're going to just off the cuff say things. Maybe sometimes an off the cuff invitation to church. It's like, where do you go to church? It's like these little casual little phrases that are going to come flying out by the Holy Spirit, and it's going to hook them. It's going to pierce their heart. It's going to get them. Because, see, you're going to go in pumped and prepared by the Spirit of God. And so the preparations of your hearts are the most important things in the days ahead. For your own marriage, for your own house, for your children, and for the people that God is going to continue to expose you to. And so here's the other thing. You're going to have to say no to some things in the days ahead. There's some big no's and all caps with exclamation points and bold letters coming from heaven. And you're going to go, nope, can't give in to that, can't do that. I think there's even some no's for your kids. They don't like that word, no kid does. I don't like it, and I'm 62. I still don't like the word no, but there are going to be some no's that God gives you for your children, and you're going to gracefully give them the morality behind it, not just because I said so. You'll give them the moral, biblical reason why it's a no, and you're going to raise up your kids and set them apart. You're going to protect them. That's already part of your conversation now. But God says, I'm hearing your prayers, I'm hearing your pleas, and I'm going to give you strategies to not completely insulate your kids, but to regulate them and to impart to them spiritual power to face their world. You're concerned, and every parent should be in this day and hour, but God is going to raise up a generation, raise up. Your kids are going to grow fast in God. I mean fast. And you're going to be shocked, and you're going to be almost like, oh my gosh, that happened so fast. And there will be some times they're going to even challenge you spiritually on some things that are going to make you say, I'll get back to you on that. And you will run to the Bible and Google at the same time. And say, oh God, I got to Google this and find out how to answer my... You'll just be like, wow, God, that was a great question. And you'll learn, you know. and you'll grow, and you're going to be involved with young people. By the time your kids hit teenage years, you're going to be heavily involved in an intrastate youth ministry. It'll be intrastate. It won't be just Ohio. It'll touch several states, and they're going to be busy kids for Jesus. And that's why there's going to be some no's coming now, because the yeses are even bigger. And the yeses are going to cost some money. Just going to tell you the way it is. Ministry needs money, okay? But you know what? Don't look at the money. Look at the ministry. Money always follows ministry. It's never the other way around. You minister, God will bring the money. And you put your kids forward to minister, and God will supply for those retreats and those camps. I just see them kind of involved in some kind of a camp, something where they're going to be serving. They're going to experience it, and then it's going to light their fire, and then they're going to go, we want to go serve. We want to go do that. We want to be, and suddenly it's just like going to consume. Something about their destiny is going to be birthed and cultured in that situation. And so God's giving you a fair warning. But like all of us that are older parents, and I'm like, man, it's going to go like that. It'll leave skid marks. You go, wow, that was fast. So God in his grace says, prepare now. It's a time of great preparation for your home and for the future. Amen. Oh, and your kids want to raise in their allowance too. I forgot that last one. Is that right? Everybody all right? Are you listening? Are you hearing things for yourself? There's lots of good principles from the Lord. Amen. How you doing?
Good.
What's your name?
Steve
and?
Mel.
Cool. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for Steve and Mel. Lord, we thank you that they're survivors. You've survived some things. The devil doesn't like you. He doesn't like anybody in this room. He doesn't like the fact we're meeting. He doesn't like any of this stuff. And there are some real nasty things he tried to pull on the two of you. But you know, you have faith. Man, you guys have faith. Don't sell yourself short. Don't you listen to the lies of the enemy. You have robust faith. You have it. And, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you're pleasing to God, brother. That's something. You were a little nervous coming up here tonight. You came up with a little apprehension. You went through a little checklist this week going, better clean that up, better hit the delete button there, and I better just do this, and I better just kind of confess that, and apply the blood three more times. You went through your formulas, and everything, you dug everything out you knew to do. You even probably took a communion on your own somewhere. I don't know. You just kind of went through it. Whatever it takes, God, I got to come in. I got to come in. So this guy can't, you know. You know what? God just loves you, bro. He just loves you. He doesn't have a checklist out. He doesn't have a report card. He's just saying, that's my boy right there. That's my son in whom I'm well pleased. Brother, if you sat in that chair until Jesus came, he'd still be happy with you. He loves you. And the love of the Father is just this fuel that God wants to fill your tank tonight. He wants to fill you up with his love. He wants to speak his goodness over you. He wants to tell you, you are my beloved son. And I am not angry, and I'm not mad, and I'm not disappointed. And you've heard those words off and on in your life, and God's just saying, that's not me. That's my enemy. He loves to accuse. That's his job title. His very name is called the Accuser of the Brethren. So these accusations, God's just saying, I'm sharpening your ear to hear an accusation. You pluck it out just like a rotten piece of fruit and go, yeah, get out of here. I'm not putting up with you. And just getting tough, brother. Spiritually tough. Now, you're a tough guy in some of your tough guy stuff. You do tough guy stuff. You drive a tough guy kind of truck and tough. You got tough guy shoes and you got some tough guy outfits. And, you know, you got the exterior taken care of, brother. But inside, God says, I want you to get just as tough on the inside. I don't want you to hunt the enemy like you like to hunt things. And I want you to shoot the enemy like you shoot things. And, you know, brother, you're just going to go after the enemy. You're just going to get a little more aggressive. There's an aggressive side to you in the natural. And brothers, God's just saying, I'm going to balance out your outward aggression with some spiritual fortitude that's going to just put the devil on the run. And because the two of you have spiritual capacity. And sister, you like to live out on the fringe. My goodness, you get out on the fringe of the spirit. You just like, I just want to float. God, I think you've asked God to do some bizarre things. It's like, God, I want to be translated. I want to float. I want to, God, if I could just, you know, can I just come to heaven for 20 minutes? And you would just love to do it all. It's just like, could I just live in the supernatural for, you know, a week? And you just have these, it's not fantasy. It's like you really have a heart for the Spirit. There's such a heart for the Spirit. And you are fascinated by some things that took place in the Bible. Why not? We all should be. We should be shocked. Angelic visitations and manifestations and miracles and signs and wonders and all that stuff. That's good reading. You're not satisfied. You want more. Not to be weird and not to, you know, put it on your profile on Facebook. Been to the spirit realm, been to the third heaven. You're not trying to brag about anything. You're trying to say, God, I want to know you, like Paul cried out in Philippians 3, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Here's the hard part of that verse, right? And the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, it doesn't mean I want to suffer exactly like he did, because thank God we don't ever have to suffer the way he did, but we fellowship. That's the Greek word koinonia, where Paul used that four strategic times in the book of Philippians itself. Starts out with the koinonia of the gospel, the fellowship of the gospel, and then the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, but then there's the fellowship of his sufferings. We like the first two, don't we? But the fellowship of his sufferings, and there's something to that, sister, that resonates in you because it's tied into that same verse, that I may know him. And so you're going to be a little more in touch with what we call the sufferings of Christ, and understand human suffering, and understand that dimension. It's almost a dirty word in the kingdom. We don't like to talk about it, but you know what? Look around. It's happening everywhere. People go through suffering. Suffering is part of the Christian life. And Peter, he wrote about it well in his epistles. And there's a measure where you're going to get in touch with that, and you're going to fellowship with Jesus on a level where you understand how powerful his suffering was for us. And you know what? You're going to get invincible. Whew. It's like the enemy just won't be able to penetrate. Because like I said, you guys have faith. Faith is manifested in courageous acts. We take courageous steps for God because we have a shield of faith. Faith becomes a shield to the enemy's lies and accusations. And so these are kind of spiritual metaphors God's pumping into you tonight, but it's because he is really building up your faith for the battles and for the victories. And the toughness, brother, is going to come flying out of you in strength of the Spirit. And sister, you're going to see things manifest, and you're going to have faith not only for yourself, but you're going to have faith for other people. This just isn't about you tonight. God's building you up so you can build others up. And sister, your prayer life and the way you pray for people, you know what? I just have this sense that God says, oh, you're going to see some miracles. You are. Because you don't ask for them in a weird way. You ask for them not to make yourself important. You ask for them so that God can be glorified in someone's life. And keep believing, sister. You keep believing. I, that early prayer of the early church, one of its first prayers, at the baby church cried out in a time of suffering, in a time of persecution, the earliest persecution, and they cried out and they didn't say, God, protect us, make them go away. They didn't whine. They boldly said, you are sovereign, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth. Boy, they went sovereign. And they said, stretch forth your hand to heal. In the name of your holy child, Jesus, with signs and wonders. They cried out and said, God, do signs and wonders. We're not going to put up with this persecution. We're not putting up with it. You're sovereign. This is your idea. It wasn't our idea. Amen. God, I'm preaching. This is good preaching. This is good stuff, though. You start quoting the Bible, you can't help it. It's like God just loves to hear his own voice. God loves his own text. It's the best prophecies you can give, is right out of the Word of God. And I just feel that thundering, that prayer of the early church, come on, God, stretch forth your hand to heal. Do some signs and wonders, Father. Man, you know what? God answers that prayer. He will answer that prayer. And you're going to see some things happen. Sister, you have a passport? Yeah. Blow the dust off it. Check the expiration date. Get ready. You're going to some places in the next few years, and God's got mission for you. Got some places to take you, and you're going to put some of this to work outside of the good old U.S. of A. God's got other places on the planet that we can get to rather easily these days, and you're going to go. And sometimes, you know, the tough guy's going to go too, but other times you'll just go with the team. And there's just some things God wants to expose you to in the kingdom. They're going to open your eyes to how big God is and what he's doing in other places, other nations, other cultures. And sometimes we just, as Americans, we need to get out of this country and realize that God is not an American. He doesn't think like an American. He thinks like God. And we need just a refreshing of the bigness of God. And this is all part of the package of the walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen. Amen. All right, we on the air here? We got your phones on? Ready to fire. Okay, what is your name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy and
Julie.
And Julie. Amen. Father, we thank you for this couple. We bless them tonight. Wow, thank you, Lord. God imported you here. This was God's idea for you to be here. Now, you didn't have this on your five-year plan, brother. This wasn't something you even prayed for. Isn't it funny how God does things without us even praying? You know, and it's almost like my testimony. It's like God just said, I'm not just going to say it, and it's going to happen. So here you are. And you don't get to leave until God says you leave. So put your fantasy suitcases away, because they're not going to manifest for a while, because God has work for you to do here. And not only work for you to do, God has major equipping to take place in the two of you. You're going to come, it's like you guys are going from junior high to like almost senior year. You're going to skip some grades. You're going to go into some AP classes, advanced placement. God's going to place you into some leadership opportunities. That doesn't mean you get a title and a badge and kind of strut around. That means you're going to be rolling your sleeves up, like we said over the other couple, you're going to be serving. Because leaders are servers. That's how you know they're a leader. Because they can lead people, and not just in their own ideas, and not just, well, this is my great idea. It's like heart for the house. That's a big phrase. We use it a lot at our church, and I just want to speak that over you. And I really want to speak it over you as a church. We're not here for ministry. It's not about a heart for ministry. It's a heart for the house. If you have a heart for the house, then God will release ministry through you. Because God's building his church. He builds a house. You know, it's just like in a family. You know, kids can't have a separate vision from their parents. It's like, Mom and Dad, how do you want to build this house? Where do you want to put the furniture? It's like, we're just here. You know, we get the benefits, but they're not out for their own agenda. That's why they leave when they're 18. I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's like, bye. Build your own house. You know, like, but there's a heart for the house. There's a desire to see people integrated in. And you guys are going to be swinging doors. People are going to come in through you, and people are going to go out through you, in and out, in and out. People are going to go out of here and pass through your hearts. And you're going to make sure they carry, I want to say it this way, the DNA of this house. There's some new people coming, and they need to pass through the DNA machine. It's like a TSA, you know, DNA. It's like they got to go through and get scanned and go, oops, that's a false doctrine. Let's pick that up right now. Let's put them over in that class, and let's put them with this couple. And you're going to get assignments from the Lord by relating to people that need to get the DNA of this house, because it's more powerful than their gift. There's going to be some gifted people God's going to send here, but you know what? If they don't have the heart for the house, they're going to cause trouble. And they won't intend to cause trouble. They're just going to be frustrated because they're going to say, well, this the church we came from, we did it this way. And you go, well, we don't do it this way. This is how we do it. So get a heart for the house and come to morph, you know, morph, adjust, and we'll tell you why we do it this way and why it works, and you guys are going to be right in the thick of that. It's like, I see you teaching some, like, beginning classes almost like cultural immersion into the culture of this place, but even there's going to be people coming from outside this region. Like I said, God's going to send some people from not from around here, and they're going to need to be culturally immersed into this church and even this region, and you guys are just the ones to do it. That's why you can't go anywhere right now. You're an important part of the fabric of getting people adjusted, climatized, and ready to roll their sleeves up and serve. A serving community. The Upper Room Fellowship will be a serving community. That people will say, you know, I don't know, something about that church, they love to serve. And I got a little taste of it last night, and I can sense it here. And there's such a family heart and a heart for the house and a heart for people. But there's shifting and changing coming. Your culture is going to change some over the next few years. It's get ready, buckle up. There's some major changes coming. And part of it's going to be cultural. Culture is more powerful than vision. I'm going to say that again. Culture. The culture that people sense when they walk in this building for the first time before they ever hear music or preaching, they'll sense the culture. And they'll go, And what they're going to pick up is these people really love each other, and these people love to serve. And that's kingdom. They're going to taste the kingdom when they walk in. And you guys are going to be a big part of that, big part. Sister, you love kids, and there's just going to be more and more activity with kids, and there's going to be some things in the children's ministry that you're going to engineer, put it that way, and you've got some great ideas. And you're going to put it forth, and it's going to fit the culture. But it's going to also stabilize some things and improve. There's a reinventing of some things. See, part of growing in kingdom cultures, we're constantly reinventing and making things better and constantly upgrading. You know, that's why, again, why God gave us the internet and our generation to show how fast we need to upgrade and how fast we need to move with the latest technology is to keep up with God. Just the way we have to keep up with our changing world, we have to keep up with God. He's moving fast. He's heading in a very direct course. He's going to the finish. Jesus is taking us to the finish. And we gotta stay up with him. So, sister, you're going to be a little bit of a catalyst. And you're going to come up with some ideas, and we can do this. Do you have children of your own? Yeah, and I just see where even your children and other children are going to give you ideas. And you're going to probe the mind of the young, not just to coddle them and say, well, what do you want to do? You know, it's like, what do you want to eat? You know, that craziness. It's like, you know what? I'm the parent. I'll tell you what you're going to eat. So anyway, but you want to get input. You want to get input, and you want to get into their world, and you want to hear where their hearts are at so that even the children will have a heart for the house. It won't be we got to go to church because mom and dad said to us. Like, we want to go to church. We love it. We love what happens. We love the people. And that heart for the house will trickle all the way down into children's ministry. And there's going to be some good things, brother, that are going to bridge you into the business world, that you're going to be taking more and more kingdom ideas into the business world, into the world of people. You work in two worlds. You work in the world of products, but you also work in the world of people. And together, God's going to make a bridge out of that where you're just going to be able to see how the kingdom works in that stuff powerfully. And the more you do that, the more you'll sense a violation coming quickly. It's like, man, that's so not the kingdom. You're just going to, inside, it's not like, oh, that's not religious. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's just going to start poking you, saying, that's not how I do life in the kingdom. That's not how I set things up. And you're going to see the violations of biblical principles, and things are going to poke you and prick you and convict you, and you're going to have to make some bold statements and bring change, even in the marketplace, and that's going to be good because that's going to be part of your training. And there's some great stuff ahead, but this is internalizing the mechanisms of change inside of you. That's what we said from the get-go tonight. Get ready for change. When God starts to speak, he speaks things that are not yet. And so now he goes to work, and these concepts become the very catalyst for change in your concepts. See, God's concepts are higher than our concepts, Isaiah said. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And how do you close that gap? By letting God transform us inside. So let the transformation begin. And it's going to begin, and it's going to grow, and it's going to get into your house, and it's going to get into this house, and your hearts are going to be enlarged. I love Paul's cry to the Corinthian church. O Corinthians, be enlarged. I love that prayer. He just cried it out. Paul wanted to see their hearts enlarged for greater capacity for what he was doing. Amen? Amen. Okay. I am. Hi, what's your name?
Bob.
Bob and?
Lori.
Lori, okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister, you have a beautiful gift of mercy. I'm just sensing from the Lord how much variety you bring into people's lives. But it comes always in wrapped in mercy. Now, there was a time when you felt the sting of judgmental words, and the very opposite of mercy was what things came wrapped in into your life for a while, and God just came in and rescued you out of a severe situation whereby God just says, I bring mercy, not judgment. And there's just this season you went through, you just really felt judged, and God said, that wasn't me, and I've come to not only rectify it, but I've come to pour out my mercy through you to undo and to just cause you to be a vessel of mercy. And I love in Hebrews 4:16 where it just says, you know, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. And I love this, and obtain mercy and find grace to help, but obtain mercy. There's mercy at his throne. It's a throne of grace. And sister, I see you very comfortable at the throne of grace. You're not intimidated. That's why it says, come boldly to the throne of his grace and obtain mercy. And it says, blessed are the merciful in good old Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the merciful, so what? They shall obtain mercy. You know how to get mercy. It's not just like you just have an endless supply. You know where to get it. You know where to get his mercy. And it just drips off you, and it flows into everything you do. And there's been such mercy. You have given comfort to some people that have gone through grieving, loss. You've just been there with a dish of incredible food or a little gift. You're such a gift person. Oh my goodness. You must love Amazon. I don't know what your how you get them, but you just get these amazing little gifts that just touch someone's light. Just light up. You just have a way of giving and showing mercy. And you're a great listener. You've just got some just ears that just don't get tired. My ears get tired sometimes around certain people. They make my ears hurt. And you don't. Your ears just have great endurance to listen and listen. And then you love. And then you just kind of, the mercy comes out. That is so beautiful to God. It's so beautiful to God. And God's going to continue to use you to bring his mercy into people's lives that are hurting and needy. And out of those practical acts of kindness, Jesus is going to show up into their lives. And you're going to see some people rescued. You have children?
Yeah.
Yeah. Three children. Well, one's on God's agenda for a rescue operation. God's got a rescue plan. And God just says, I already got it. It's on his list, okay? And so God's going to rescue, and then there's going to be mercy. And here's the thing. You just already kind of have to anticipate prophetically the mercy, okay? That God's going to rescue him, and God's going to heal, and God's going to restore, and there's going to be a kind of a prodigal son party, where there's going to be just, let's have a party. Let's not rehearse the failures. Let's rejoice in the success that one has come home. And this is going to be a good party. And it's going to be something that you guys can rejoice in. And it's one of those things. God just says, watch what I'm going to do. Because it will be the work of God. And these are good days, brother, for you to pal around with some mighty men. Brother, you sometimes observe other men in the house and go, maybe someday I'll be like them, but probably not. And, you know, brother, sometimes you just so devalue who you are. You so put yourself at a lower level. And first of all, you're his son. Amen. You're at son status. We all have the same status in the kingdom. We're his boys. We're the father's sons. That's it. And titles and positions and all that stuff, they're just all the father's doings. But, brother, don't sell yourself short. You've got some strong shoulders. You've carried some things. You've carried burdens. You know, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you've done that many, many times. Sometimes you've done it silently. Sometimes you've done it and nobody else knows, but God does. You've gone and helped somebody. Talk about a rescuer. Brother, you've got the heart of a rescuer. You like to go help somebody with a flat tire or plow them out of a snowbank. Or you just would go do it and you don't need to put it on social media and, you know, get a few, you know, likes. It's like, yeah, that's what we do. We just like to help people. And brother, you're just helping people is what the Bible calls bearing one another's burdens. When things are too heavy for them, there you are. You're just there. And brother, God sees that. That's in his book, man. He loves that about you. And you know what? That doesn't make, you know, the precursor to that verse, which is Galatians 6:2, Galatians 6:1, it says, if you see your brother taken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest you too fall. And so, brother, you've seen men in a misstep. And just like, you know, you guys are not judgmental. That's why people like you, and that's why you're so valuable, because you don't judge them. You want to restore them. Restore them in a spirit of meekness. You that are spiritual, restore them. Brother, you're more spiritual than you think. It's just that the way we tend to label spiritual people are sometimes slightly lunatic. You know, they're the weird people, or as we say, instead of prophetic people, they're pathetic people. They're just the weird people. You go, yeah, well, you know, they're prophetic. That's why they act so stupid. It's like, really? It gives God a bad name. It gives prophecy a bad name. And it doesn't describe spirituality at all. The Bible says, you that are spiritual, go and restore somebody in trouble, somebody that's been taken in a fault. We say, you know, the body of Christ, we're good at, you know, shooting our own wounded. We kick them when they're down and say, yeah, I knew it was coming. I saw it come. No, you didn't. You're just being judgmental. We're not out to judge. We're out to restore people. And there's some people that are out of the church that you know. There's some people that used to go to church. And you're going to rescue them from themselves. Yeah. They're deceived. The enemy has just had his day with them and just told them all kinds of lies. And brother, you're going to go rescue some people back into the house, back into the kingdom. They're still Christians, but man, they just fallen out of love with the thing closest to God's heart, his bride, the church. Ah, no church anymore. They grumble and mumble and they got all these offenses about the church. And I always tell people, start mumbling about the church. They go, well, which one? I said, obviously, you've never been to my church. I love my church. It's like, you know, hey, it's not the church. The church is people, right? You're going to get down to the root of why they're offended. It's somebody. It's not a church. It's somebody in the church. And brother, you're going to bring healing and restoration. You're going to rescue some people from their own bitterness and unforgiveness. And that is a big issue to God. So big that he said, if you don't forgive, I don't either. Wow. I don't like that verse, but it's in there. That's a pretty heavy mandate on forgiveness. And you two are going to be just offering it free. You're going to just be offering forgiveness to people. You're going to be coaching them, pleading with them, praying for them. And you're going to see people broken, repentive, forgiving, and restored. As God does it for others, he'll do it for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. What a good couple. Amen. Wow. That's a great church. Could do some damage to the kingdom of darkness with these people. Anybody hear anything for themselves so far? Are you getting things in your own life? I mean, some of that is like, this is the Bible. God just likes to rehearse his own words and put them into us in a life-giving way that hits where we live. That's the power of that prophetic voice. So good. We're going to shift gears then? All right. Why don't you just stand up for a minute? It's like seventh inning stretch. Just stand for a minute. Let's just give God thanks for what he's already done.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, that you're here, obviously, and you're speaking, and you're loving.
Thank you,
you're giving
thank
as you do.
You,
you're building the church.
Yes,
you've set every member in the church as it pleases you. We are the many-membered body of Christ. God, I pray that you just divinely touch certain members tonight to inspire, equip, encourage, edify. Thank you. This is your doing, God. And so we're going to lay down all striving, all ambition, all like inside going, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. Just like, God bless the guy next to me. Bless my sister. Inside, that's the heart of the house. See, not a heart like my mine. All those words have to disappear tonight. It's all about his church, his body, your brother, your sister. When that spirit is in a room, God just flows. And we're going to give God liberty to flow where he wants to flow tonight. It's as he wills. Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Do people know if they're on the list for tomorrow? So if I call you out and you're on the list, if you're part of the elite group, no, I'm kidding. Just say, you know, we're on the list, and we'll wait and prophesy over you. So, okay? All right. You just don't look at me that way. You're starting to look pathetic, and it doesn't help me. It's like, all right. We're going to get there. You three. Are you on the list? You or you and you? No, they're too young. Okay. Right. Why don't the three of you come up here? I just want to know if you were on scheduled.
That's on the list.
You are? Okay. Well, the rest.
Nice.
What do we do? Do we sit? Do we stand? Just stand right here. It's fine. Just stand right here. I'm going to start with you. What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're talking about fabric, the fabric of the house, and there's a interesting analogy there in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body woven together. And, you know, when we're woven together, we become this like mosaic of Christ, and you are a bright fabric. You're a bright thread, if I could say that, where you have woven your life into the body of Christ. It always brings out something in other people. And there's something selfless about you in the way that you just want to make a difference, in the way you like to minister. And I just really feel like God's going to continue to reward the selflessness. And there was a time that there was plenty of ambition. You had a lot of ambition. And, you know, there's a place for zeal. Yep. And there's a place for passion. Yep, we like that. But there was times you just were so wanting that you slipped into ambition of the heart, and God's just tempered you, and you have to be really grateful for that, that God says, I'm going to rescue you, I'm going to keep you from your own destruction, and I'm going to kind of throttle back some things. And you felt like God was withholding some things, and you felt like, what did I do wrong? And you went through this really deep personal introspection, and you were really hard on yourself, and God's just saying, you know, lighten up. You're just hard on yourself. You even go home. You evaluate how you did church on a Sunday morning. You'll go home and go, did I do this right? You just want to just please him. You know what? God just saying, like I spoke of this brother, he's pleased with you no matter what. He's really pleased with you. But there's also the side of excellence. And that's what I want to get at. There, God is growing your excellence in serving and in giving and in how you minister. And there's a hunger for the prophetic, no doubt about it. You love that I quoted it tonight, desire to prophesy, desire spiritual gifts. That's you. You so want to be using it. And God says, what are you waiting for? Just be natural. Just be prophetic all the time. See, being prophetic means I'm listening to the voice of God. Like Jesus was profoundly prophetic and appeared to be profoundly ignorant at the same time. Because he said, I only do what I see my Father doing, right? I only say what I hear my Father say. It almost sounds like ignorant. It's like, well, you can't speak for yourself. He goes, nope, only what the Father says. And he was prophetic. His whole internal operating system was Holy Ghost. He got filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything he did was run by the Holy Spirit operating system. Call it spirit, wind. And it seems almost scattered sometimes, right? John 3:8, the wind blows wherever it wants to. You go, yeah, that's kind of weird. But then he says, oh, so is everyone that's born again. Hello. And so guess what? You are born again. Therefore, you have the Holy Spirit operating system in you. And guess what? He's going to blow you wherever he wants to. And I love it when he said, you don't know where it comes from. You don't even know where it's going sometimes. You feel like some days you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're coming from. And that's because you're really trying to press in and follow the Holy Spirit. And it's not weird and it's not whimsical. It's just, I got to follow him. And I'm just saying all this from the Spirit of God saying, you're doing well. You're doing well. And here's the thing. God just says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And you don't have to say, just a minute, I'm getting a word from God. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, and just a minute, I get it. Just let it flow. You know, Jesus said, out of your innermost being, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This he said of the Spirit. So the Spirit flows. He's not jerky. He's not weird. He's not wild and crazy. He's a spirit. He's wind. Sometimes he's a little bit of a violent wind, but let it flow, sister. Let it flow. I'll pray for you. Father, just fill fresh. Every day we need the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Paul said, be being filled with the Spirit because we leak. We all have leaks. We all give out. So, Father, right now, fill my sister with fresh anointing, fresh oil. Wow, just a freshness and a confidence that you may all prophesy, Paul said. You may all prophesy. You may all be prophetic. You may all hear my voice. You may all speak for me at the right time, the right place, as the Spirit wills. Thank you, Lord. A release of Holy Spirit unction in the most common places, in the marketplace, in the coffee shop, here, there, everywhere. God is just going to say it. Amen? All right. Good. And what is your name?
Jaden.
Jaden. That is a cool name. How old are you, Jaden? 12. 12? You look like you're like 16. Oh, no. We need to get a posse. I'm kidding. You're special to the Lord. And, yeah, I'm just like a little surprised. It's like you're beyond your years and maturity and growth already, but there's a hunger you have. And it's not just childlike faith. There's a mature faith in you. You've wrestled with God over some things at a young age. God likes that. You have big questions, and God is a big God. God can answer your big questions. There's a big word. It's actually not in the Bible per se, but it's a massive concept about who God is, and it's this word that God is sovereign. Jehovah Adonai would be the closest you can get to the sovereign Lord. He is sovereign. You know what that means? There's nothing higher than God. Nothing ascends above him. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's in charge. And you can trust the sovereignty of God in the days ahead. You can also trust the sovereignty of God in the days past. There is nothing that has come into your life that God did not allow for your growth in him. For your growth in him. That's the kicker. Because you've had a lot of why questions. You say, God, why this? Well, God, why did this? Well, why did this happen? You've had a lot of good, those are good questions. God loves questions. He's the master. He asks people lots of hard questions. Jesus asked people questions all the time. Jesus usually answered most questions with another question. So keep questioning God. But in that, listen and read. And then listen and then read. You're a reader. You know what? Books are still cool. You know, I read on my phone all the time. I've got Kindle, I do that, but every now and then, the smell of a new book or the smell of an old book. And keep reading. You're going to be very scholarly, not to be brainy and goofy. You're just going to be a knowledgeable young lady. I'm going to step out and say there's some things coming. As you study and grow, God's going to reward your studying. And I'm just going to step way out here. Your mom's here? I keep hearing the word scholarship. You're going to have an academic scholarship presented to you in the future. Now, that's not a tease, and we're not fortune-telling. I hear from God, he knows your heart, he knows your capacity. He built this brain, and he's given you a good brain. And so keep reading, keep learning, keep studying. But not only will you know and have knowledge, you're going to write. You're going to be a writer. There's some things that you're going to write from the heart. So it's going to get into the brain, but you're not a brainiac. You're a woman of the heart. And you're going to express knowledge through the medium of God's heart into your generation that's going to really affect some people. And you're going to really affect some people that have gone through trouble. To some young people that have gone through trouble. You are already, at your age, that's why you just seem so old. You have an old soul. You know, and you have a heart for hurting people, and particularly those of your peers. And it's like you hear things that others don't even hear. And you have cried out to God and said, God, what can I do? How can I help? And God said, I'm going to train you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to give you an audience. I'm going to give you a voice into your generation. And you will have an impact because it's going to come from God's voice. It's no mistake you're here tonight. I'm not even sure if you wanted to be here tonight. I don't know if it was an addition, but God says, I wanted you here because I wanted to talk to you about your future and what I have for you. And God says, I'm going to cause you to be a prophetic voice to your generation. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's good. No offense, but I really like young people. I really like, there's so much destiny to, and that's really good. So tell the young people to keep coming out these meetings too. Amen. Are you a young person next to that old guy with a beard next to you? Who is that old guy next to you? Do you know him? Do you? Why don't you come up here? Don't bring him though. We're going to get him another night. I assume that's your dad. What's your name?
Cana.
Cana? Like the Bible Cana? Oh my word, that is so cool. You know you're going to have a wedding someday just because of your name, right? Well, the wedding of Cana, of course. Did you plan that? Was that the plan?
No, we're just thinking about that right now.
Oh, God is good. All right, Cana, how old are you?
I'm 12.
Okay, you're a legitimate 12. I'm kidding. I like your personality. God likes it. You're a bubble. There's some things that you're going to be doing. Very innovative things, creative things. There's quick leadership coming for you in your own sphere of peers. And are you in junior high yet?
Middle school.
Yeah. You're going to start slowly getting more and more influential in the junior high age group. And then it's going to carry into the senior high, and I just really sense that God has youth ministry available to you, for you, through you, and God says, learn now, study, kind of even check out what youth events are happening. I just even see where you're going to be a catalyst to get some young people together to go off and get a power encounter somewhere, like almost like, you know, whatever, catch the fire or whatever they have all kinds of things now. Where you're just going to really be a catalyst to say, come on. And I'm not talking about church kids either. I'm talking about get your school friends and other people that play sports and people in your world and people that even your parents know and others and say, hey, we're going to go to this thing. You need to come. And I just see you kind of being a little bit of a cheerleader, kind of a catalyst, and you're going to be just stirring people up. Because you can sell, sister. You know how to sell things. You've sold your parents, and they didn't even know what they were buying. But they said, well, let's get it. You are a salesman because you see benefit. You see the good. You know, I feel like you've just got this beautiful view of people. This is the way Jesus looked at them. He just saw the good. You know, prostitutes and drunkards and sinners and Gentiles. And Jesus saw the good. Tax collectors. Look at the 12. He picked 12 young guys that nobody would have picked. Nobody would have one of the 12 as an elder in their church today. They would have never made it. But he picked them, and he made them disciples. I want to say that other thing. You're not too young to make disciples. So Cana, God's going to give you some assignments in the days coming. And you know what you do? You just go up and do what Jesus said. Hey, you, yeah, what are you doing after school? Let's meet. Follow me. You know, basically it's like, hey, come follow me. We're going to go get a Coke, we're going to go have a cookie, and I'm going to share something. I got this cool little book, and you'll have all these little tools. You're like a tool junkie for Jesus. You're going to have Jesus tools, little booklets, little things, little and bracelets, all cool stuff, and you're going to be giving them as little hooks to pull people into your world where you and Jesus like to hang out, and you can tell them good things about them and their life. And then you're going to pray. That's the other thing. You don't pray 12-year-old prayers, Cana. You're praying some adult-sized prayers. Ask big. You know, you can ask big. God says, I am so big, Cana. You will never surprise me with your prayer life. You'll never surprise me. But you will please me as you cry out and ask of me. There's one more thing. God's going to give you a heart for the nations. And you're going to be praying for certain nations, certain countries, people groups in other countries. It's going to start with prayer. God's just going to lay it on your heart. You might be just skim through an old atlas, or you might go online and look at Google Maps and go, what's that country? Or you might hear something. But God is going to just power into you a nation or two. And suddenly you're going to get infatuated with it. You're going to check out their flag. You're going to check out their customs, their food. All this suddenly, and I just want to tell you the other thing. You're going to learn some languages in the next few years, so get ready. God's going to gift you. Now, doesn't mean you have to not study. You have to study, but you're going to have a grasp of language where you can pick up a foreign language because you're going to use it in the days ahead. And this is all God laying the groundwork in, saying, I'm so glad you're here tonight, Cana, because I'm laying out a path that's got the kingdom of God written on it. It's got your destiny in it. It has to do with people and nations and prayer and just selling Jesus the best product there ever is. Amen. Look out. Look out for Cana. That's awesome. That's good. I wish I'd had a prophecy when I was 12, you know? And it's like, man. But I got one later. Isn't that so cool, though, that God would speak to us? Yeah. So, brother, back here in black shirt, right in the middle. Yeah, there's two brothers in the black shirt. Are you by yourself? Come on down, brother. He's not on the list? No. God forbid we'd be on any list. Great. What's your name?
Ernest Peachy.
Ernest, I'm Clem. Yeah. Good to see you. Do you go to church here? Is this your church?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm just kind of getting this all from the... Right. So, you're here. Welcome. So, God has... The vision I get in the picture is a simple metaphor analogy. God is putting new tires on you, brother. It's time for an upgrade. He's putting some very good, durable, all-weather, radial, best top-of-the-line tires on you because, amen, brother, you got some more miles to go.
Amen.
You're going to be going some places for God, and God's got assignments for you, but it's not just long distance. It's just all the little things. and here and there. And you're a busy guy. Yeah. I'm almost surprised you're here tonight. But you're a busy guy because, like, man, weekends are not relaxing for you. Mm-hmm. You don't look forward to the week and go, oh, I'm just going to kick back and do nothing. Man, you're a busy man. And you've already got a busy 2019 brewing. Mm-hmm. And God's going to use you. And brother, there's going to be opportunities to speak and share and minister to men and minister. And here's the thing. God's going to open up some very unique speaking opportunities for you to share. You've got a very unique testimony that God has given you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to share with some non-church groups. I just see where you're going to have a chance to speak with things like, I don't know, like a Rotary Club, Kiwanis Club, something, this group, that group. And here's the other thing. Wow. Have you ever ministered in a prison?
No.
I did. Well, I believe God's got some opportunities for some men that are locked up in prison. And I really believe God's going to open some really significant doors to really set some captives free in the spirit, you know. And sometimes we forget about the whole prison system. And, you know, there's some men are called to it and some women are called to it. And I've got a lot of men. But, you know, I just think for you, there's just some opportunities coming. Mm-hmm. And you have to get from God whether you pursue or they pursue you. But when it happens, brother, it's God's saying it tonight to help confirm, like, should I, shouldn't I? Oh, yeah, that's that prison thing God said that night. Yeah. So that's one. But that's part of your retooling and upgrading.
Sure.
And, brother, you got a lot of miles. That's the whole thing about, you know, new tires. It's like we gauge them by not only the tread, but how many miles am I going to get. And, brother, you got a lot of miles to go.
Amen.
Got a lot of miles to go. There's some young men, some young athletes that you're going to touch. That's another group you're going to speak to is young athletes. And God's just got some amazing opportunities coming your way. So be ready.
Amen.
This is a word, you know, it's just fresh in the new year. And God's saying, son, get ready. I'm going to use you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep you fit. And I'm going to put you out there so you can tell the story.
Amen.
Tell the story of what God has done for you.
Amen.
He's not done. Do you have children?
I do.
Yeah. Do you have sons?
I have three sons.
Three sons, yeah. What, you know, your sons, yeah, they're going to be part of the testimony.
Amen.
Man, God's not done writing their testimony, and neither are they.
Amen.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, one of your sons got a call to ministry.
Amen.
He really has a call to ministry. And but here's the thing. Don't put him in a ministry box of your making.
Sure.
Just say, I know it. And that's just going to help direct your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make it happen. God's going to make it happen. But
Amen.
Here's you can pray as dad. Dad can pray and say, I believe in you. And when he comes to you for advice, which is like gold, isn't it? When adult children start coming for advice, you go, yes. You never took it for 18 years, but now you're asking. No, I'm kidding. When they come and ask for advice, you're going to go, you know, son, I've been praying.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave me a word, and you're just going to share your heart and God's heart, and it's going to empower.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I just want to say this over. God wants you to just take some extra time, and I know you pray for your kids. We all do.
Sure.
Take some extra time and get a word for them this year.
Mm.
I feel like God's saying, I'm going to give you a word for your children, each
Amen.
One.
Amen.
Just like Jacob
Amen.
Gathered all of his 12 sons in Genesis 49 and gave each one a prophecy. You're going to gather them and give them each a prophetic word
Amen.
For the year. Kind of like,
Amen.
You know, the year, whatever.
Sure,
it might take
sure.
2 years, 5 years. But just say, I got a word for you. I want to share it with you. And you know what? Their self-esteem is going to go to a whole nother level.
Mm.
Their love for you and respect is just going to just get deep and rich.
Wow.
And they're going to take hold of it because it came from Dad.
Amen.
It didn't come from the internet. Didn't come from any place else. It came from Dad.
Amen.
And brother, it's going to be like gold.
Amen.
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 Good man. I'm glad you're here tonight. God bless you. The bishop just did the... Come on down. We're going to let you sit. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. I might join you. I'm kidding. Tell me your name.
Karen.
Karen. All right. All right. Is this your church?
No.
No? We welcome you.
Very good friend.
Pick up a visitor's card in the back. Yeah. Karen, praise God. Wow. You are a prayer warrior, mighty intercessor. You have carried the weight of a lot of people. You have carried spiritual weight that others had no idea you were carrying. You broke out of a spiritual prison and God set you free. There was a religious veneer that tried to wrap itself around you and hold you captive. And God said, nope, I'm going to set her free. And God set your feet a dancing and you picked up a tambourine and you got free, sister. And the Holy Ghost did something in you that no man could do. And it brought you to a new realm of understanding. There is truly a spiritual world and there is warfare in that world. And you immersed yourself in principles like Ephesians 6 and principalities and powers. You understand the hierarchies and what you're doing. And you've been a bit of a warfare strategist, like we have in our natural military. You know, they have war rooms and they have where they strategize. You've done that in the spirit. You've said, God, what do I do here? Give me a plan. And so, sister, you got some stripes and some bars on your uniform because you have got battle experience. You've got time in the war zones and you've seen victories and there's more to come. And I'd love to say, good news, you get to retire, the war is over, but guess what? It's escalating. It's not going to get any easier as Christ's return becomes more and more imminent. And the devil fights harder. Darkness, gross darkness, Isaiah said, is going to cover the earth. But the light of the glory of the gospel is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And we're going to pray, okay, as the church in a new way with new strategies and understanding what we're up against. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And boy, if anybody knows that, you do. And that's going to continue to be your clarion call to intercessors. And you're going to continue to gather people to pray, always undercovering. That's where, you know, the enemy wants you to get all out there and strung out and kind of just dissipate. And he wants to isolate. He's an isolator. And you are going to be one that's going to bring people together. And you're going to be one that's going to make sure people are under authority. That's a naughty word to most Christians, but it's because the devil hates authority. So he doesn't even want Christians to like authority. So there's authorization coming from God, but he comes through his appointed headships. And that's why the devil's attacking marriage and the family and church and you name it. Anything that even is a whiff of God's authority structures, the devil's trying to beat it and attack. He's been attacking it for centuries, and no wonder. It's his demise. So he said to Jesus said to the centurion, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel because he was a man under authority. And you're a woman under authority, and God is going to use you in authority. Just don't self-authorize. It's the most dangerous thing we ever did. That took place in the garden. Adam authorized himself to make decisions outside of God, and he blew it for all of us. So you know what? Stay under authority, but be in authority. And you're going to move troops just like that centurion. I say to this one, go here, and I say to that one, go there. Why? Because I'm a man under authority. And as you're under authority, sis, you're going to be moving things around in the spirit. And you're going to see some damage done in some cities. Now, this is, I guess, a city. Is this actually a city? Yeah, so it's a city. But there's more cities that you're going to have influence in. And you're going to help. I just see you going to bolster spiritual warfare in other cities. And I don't know how that's going to happen, but it's going to happen through the local church. Let me just say that. Don't go rent a hotel room and say, we're going to pray down, you know, the spirits of darkness over the city in the next 2 hours. No, it's not the weirdness. It's not the goofy stuff. We're going to go up the mountain, take the high places, and blah, 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 all this. And no spiritual mapping and all that. None of that, okay? You're going to go in serving, find the man of peace. And it's all about the gospel. It's not just about, oh, we did warfare and everything's great. It's like, what's the proof in the pudding? Souls. Where God wants you to infiltrate an area of darkness and loose people, okay, from the blinders that Satan has blinded them with, and you're going to see victories in lives. Amen. Changed and saved. Amen. That's going to be the proof of the pudding. But if you do it where God tells you to do it and how God tells you to do it, that's what's going to happen. just like when Paul, in Acts 16, came into Ephesus. Man, he blew everything up just because he set one young girl free from a demon, and it wrecked the whole economy. Yeah. Doesn't make you popular, but you know what? Ephesus became a powerful center for the gospel and a great church, right? So, wow. Thank you for your warrior, Lord. Thank you, Lord. She has a heart for people, the lost. But God, when she gets on her knees, the devil gets nervous. And I just thank you for such as her and others. You're not a lone ranger. You've got a good team. You've got people around you. You've got great friends like these guys and others and you guys are going to be doing strategies to see the kingdom of darkness disturbed.
Amen.
Yeah. Turbulence. You're going to create spiritual turbulence where the enemy's going to. And so don't be afraid of backlash. It's almost like a sign like, whoa, we kicked a hornet's nest on this one, didn't we? Yep. Well, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and then boom. Souls. Remember, it's all about souls.
Amen.
I'm being real careful here. Yeah, I won't say it. It's going to happen, though. All right? I'm going to tell you later, but it's good.
Amen.
It's good. Bless you. How many want to get in on the war? I'm in. If she recruits you, just go. Say, I'm in. Shall we finish with that? That's a good place to finish. Let me pray for you, everybody. Why don't you stand to your feet again? This is good. There's momentum. This is just night one, meeting number one, but there's already spiritual momentum. We're hearing things. What I really want you to do is hear what is God saying to the church. There's already some little glimmerings of new people coming and the culture and DNA and these little terms. Don't just blow them off like, it's just fancy language. Like, God is saying something that's going to affect everybody here. So you got to be listening. What's my part, God? Yeah, we prophesied over this one, that, but what's my part in that? Because they can't fulfill these prophecies without y'all, as we say in North Carolina. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you that you love your church and you're building it. God, we thank you that every one of these words, like with Samuel, not one will fall to the ground. But God, we would capture your heart. Not just the information, but God, in these days ahead, that we would come to know you. We want to know the God that gave these prophecies tonight. We want to know your heart. We want to know your intentions. We want to know your plans and purposes and how we fit into that, because that's what matters. It's how we advance the kingdom in this community, around the people you've put us around. God, they're all precious. We pray for the lost tonight. We pray for lost people. God, give us the lost. Send forth laborers into the harvest right here in this part of the United States, in this part of Ohio. And God, we want you to bust down all the borders. We want you to just flood this area with your goodness and kindness, with proclamations. God, loose the tongue of the church to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in unprecedented ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big clap offering. Yeah. Amen. Amen.